Welcome, if you're just joining us. Welcome back, if you've been with us for the first hour. My name's Maggie Dawn. I'm host of the Maggie Dawn Show right here across the Civic Media Radio Network. Really excited today because I've got my special guest co-host, Tom Paulswitz, one of the most reasonable men in politics, a Navy veteran, and a two-time candidate in the 5th Congressional District here in Wisconsin. And we are joined in studio by a former colleague, good friend. Let's see if I can get all of these credentials right. You are a former state representative, a former county board supervisor, and a former county clerk.
And you left a former state senator, which
that's right.
Most of the time.
Yes, most of the time. His name's Joe Czarnecki. Welcome to the show, Joe. It's such a pleasure to have you.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you very much.
Very excited. Haven't seen you since I left the county. So this is a bit of a reunion of sorts as well for us. And small little, this is the small walkie of it all, if you will. And that is that Joe's son and I both went to law school together.
Yes.
How's he doing?
He's doing very well, actually. He's just took a
still new, teaching.
He's teaching. Yeah, he's at Case University in New York, and he's going to actually move to Chicago next semester.
That'll be lovely. Got
accepted as the dean of the law school at Kent. Is that the law school?
Yes, okay. Chicago, Kent. Well, that'll be easier for he and I to catch up. Again, welcome, Joe. Joe, you wrote an incredible memorial to President Jimmy Carter for the Milwaukee County Democratic Party. If you're listening, folks, we're going to add that to our show notes for today so you can go check it out for yourself. But tell us how you first met President Carter, Joe, and what that was like.
Well, I was a college student when I first met him back in February of 1975. I was active in the College Democrats at UWM in Milwaukee, and we had our state Young Democratic Convention actually in Eau Claire in February of 1975. It was a beautiful below zero weekend.
Sounds about right.
And we had been trying to get a keynote speaker, and your older folks remember there were many Democratic candidates for president back
yes.
then, and we invited them all, and Jimmy Carter was the only one who accepted to come and speak to us. So he gave our keynote speech in the evening, and after the speech, some of us stood around and talked with him. He gave his famous, "I'm Jimmy Carter, and I'm running for president," speech.
Yep.
It was a great speech, and many of us were very much impressed with him. And so we were talking with him, and like good college students, we said, "Well, when you're done, we've got a party up in our room. You want to join us?" And he said, "Well, I've got to meet with some folks, but, I'll try and stop by later." And we figured, he was just saying that.
Right. Being nice.
And then later in the night, I don't even know what time it was, but there was a knock on the door, and we thought, it's just more partiers coming by. And
where
so,
were you? Were you in like a very classic house?
No, we were in a Holiday Inn, I think.
Oh, yeah. Even more highly suspect, right. The hotel
yeah.
room.
Yeah, it was a hotel room of a Holiday Inn, I think.
Yeah.
He stopped by and came to the door. We just thought it was more partiers. Somebody answered the door, and there was Jimmy Carter, and he said, "Hey, I hear there's a party up here."
Unbelievable.
And he worked the room. He shook hands with everybody in the room, and we offered him a drink, and he informed us that he didn't really drink except for an occasional glass of wine with his wife, Rosalind, and shook hands with everybody in the room and, kind of left then. But many of us were impressed, and, then, again, I didn't see him again until that summer when he came to the State Democratic Party Convention
yes.
in Wisconsin, and that's when I became a volunteer on his campaign.
Which is, that is how politics used to work.
Yes.
Folks, I'm talking with Joe Czarnecki. He's been serving as an elected official in the state of Wisconsin for many years, now retired. He met Jimmy Carter back when he was in college, and the former president stopped by the hotel room after that meeting to say hello to everybody at the after party, if you will. I'm going to toss it over to my great co-host, Tom Paulswitz. Joe, as you know, Tom, we were talking before the show that you and your wife both got very involved with Habitat Humanity. Tom, do you have a couple questions for Joe?
Yeah, Joe, thinking back on that time, what was the thing that stood out to you most? Because that was an interesting election. It was right after, Ford had pardoned Nixon, and, things were really up in the air as far as what direction our country was going to go. But what really stood out about him in that campaign that really led you to say, this is the person we need to elect next?
Well, as Maggie mentioned, politics was a lot different then. Yeah. I remember, again, I was a volunteer on the campaign, and I remember one of the times he came to Milwaukee, and the campaign called me up and said, well, can you meet him at the airport? And I said, yeah. He says, well, he's going to be meeting some people in Milwaukee. Can you drive him around town? And again, this was, you know, this was probably in 70, early 76, before the Wisconsin primary.
Yep.
And you know, before presidential candidates had Secret Service details and everything. So I met him at the airport, and he gets off the plane carrying his own garment bag.
Wow.
No one with him.
No entourage?
No entourage.
Right.
It might speak to the long shot that Carter, like, at the time, right? Nobody thought it was going to be Jimmy Carter.
No, and I met him with one other individual, and it was an early morning flight. I don't even remember where he was coming from, and he said he hadn't had breakfast yet, and so we had breakfast at the airport. I still remember he had a cheese omelet.
Oh, is that cute?
Yeah, I think I had toast because I had like $2 in my pocket then, and that was it. And So I drove him around Milwaukee. I drove him around with a reporter from the Milwaukee Sentinel. We went to the Journal and the Sentinel. We went to a couple of other places. And again, it was real informal. And we went to a reception at somebody's house. And we had to stop and pick up my wife then. We had just been married. And we picked him up and... my wife was going to get in the car, and this is one of my favorite stories about the real Jimmy Carter. I had a very small car. I had a Chevy Vega.
Oh, so it was tiny.
Me, Jimmy Carter, and a Chevy Vega, and we picked up my wife to go to this event at a person's house, and she goes to get in, crawl in the back seat of the car, and being such a gentleman, he says, no, you can't sit in the back seat. I'll get in the back seat. You sit in the front. And he crawls in the back seat of this little Chevy Vega.
As, with the seats that flip up.
Yeah. As we drive to this reception at a supporter's home, was sort of a meet and greet. So, I mean, that's
different time.
That's one of the things I really like about him is, you know, a lot of little personal interesting stories like that.
It is both a demarcation of the different time, but I think a reflection of very, in a very real way, the man himself, right? It could be today, and if President Carter were still with us and he was physically able, he'd still be pretzeling himself into the back of the Chevy Vega, I'm certain, right? Tell us a little bit about your involvement with Habitat for Humanity and how you and your wife continued your relationship, if you will, with the Carters.
Well, we've been contributors to Habitat for Humanity. I guess one of my big disappointments is I never got a chance to build a house with Jimmy Carter.
Yes.
That's something I always wanted to do. And he did build homes in Milwaukee in the 80s. And there are still people in Milwaukee who built those houses with him who are still living in those houses. And I think that that's something that's remarkable about President Carter is he will always have that legacy of people who worked next to him to build the house that they live in and still live in today. And I think that's one of the remarkable things. And that's one of the reasons we got involved in Habitat for Humanity was because of the good work that he did there.
Just incredible. Folks, I'm joined today by Joe Czarnecki, former state representative and senator, former Milwaukee County Board Supervisor, and former Milwaukee County Clerk. Met President Carter on the campaign trail, ended up volunteering for his campaign, and met President Carter and Rosalynn numerous times over the rest of your adult life, given your involvement with Habitat for Humanity. Give us a sense of your impressions, Joe, of President Carter's legacy. And I really, as you and I chatted preceding your interview today, I really view this sort of in two pieces. In the end sum, it's one legacy. But I really think of it as What was President Carter's impacts and what's his legacy as a president, his term as president? But more broadly, then, you really cannot separate his presidency from all of the great service to not just Americans, but humanity in the 40 plus years after his presidency. What are your thoughts when you think about President Carter's legacy?
Well, I think there's two things about his legacy. One is, as you know, Jimmy Carter personally, and then the other as his presidency. And personally, I think it's very interesting. When Carter left the White House, he wasn't a popular guy.
Right.
And I remember we went down to Plains, my whole family, my kids were young then. I think my daughter might have been three, my son seven, and we met with President and Mrs. Carter at Maranatha Baptist Church to go to the church service and to go to his Sunday school class. And that wasn't as popular as it was later in his life. And mm-hmm. I think at the Sunday school class, there were maybe six or eight other people besides wife and I at that class. And the people at the church were just wonderful. They took our kids into a class for the kids. And, you know, it was so much different. And after the church service and the Sunday school class, President and Mrs. Carter talked with my wife and I and our kids for the longest time after church. And one of the most, I think, almost painful things was him telling us about building the Carter Presidential Museum and Library, and told us that, you know, he was sad because one of the things he had to do was raise money to build it. But he's kind of sad because he said he raised more money from people from other countries than he did from people from the United States in order to build it.
Which, remarkable.
Which was sort of how people felt about him back, you know, in the 80s.
In the immediate aftermath.
Right after he left presidency. And that changed, obviously, over the years in his personal life and his involvement with the Carter Center and other things. But his presidency, again, was much more remarkable than people, I think, give him credit for. I mean, he created the Department of Education. And
yes.
If you look at the United States moving forward, what's more important than education?
Yeah.
He created the Department of Energy.
Yep.
He was the you know, one of the greatest environmental presidents. He put solar panels on the White House, which Ronald Reagan took down. But, he did, you know, so much. He was
visionary in many respects that I don't even think today we can fully appreciate. We're going to have to take care of a wee bit of business, Joe. My special guest today, Joe Czarneski, former colleague of mine, former county clerk, county board supervisor, state representative, and state senator, a man who's met the president, Jimmy Carter, and his wife, Rosalynn, many times. We continue our discussion of President Carter's legacy with my special co-host, Tom Paulswitz, after these brief messages right here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Join us, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-7566.